Sun rises, the birds chirp, the daylight streams in. A new day breaks forth here in Jerusalem's city. A new day for us Israelites living in the great land our great God has given us, but under the regime of the Roman Empire. It is a new day here in the year AD 33, but it is a sad day. It's a day of grief, a day of despair, a day that for a moment had all the potential of being a different day. But all that potential and hope was taken away in a blink of an eye, in the strike of the nail, in the breathing out of that final breath of life. I'm so sorry. In my grief, I forgot to introduce myself. I am Cleopas, the son of Nahor, of the tribe of Judah. I am one of those living in Jerusalem who have personally seen the great chain of events that have taken place amongst us over the past 3 years. For I am a follower of the great rabbi himself, the great prophet, Jesus of Nazareth. For the past 3 years, I have been following this man, Jesus. I have been going where he went, stopping where he stopped. I have heard his words. I have seen his deeds. I have felt that fresh wave of hope he stirred within all who followed him. I have experienced for the first time a glimmer of hope, a sense of the deeper meaning of this thing that you and I are involved in. This thing called life. I have felt all of that only to have that suddenly taken away in the same sudden manner that it began. I still remember the first time I met this man. There I was at Capernaum in the area of Galilee. And there and then, for the first time, I heard those beautiful words, words which no Jew has heard for a long time. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Those were the bold words of Jesus of Nazareth. Words that came like a fresh breath of air. Words that still ring in my head even up to today. I remember asking myself back then, really? The kingdom of God is here? God's rightful rule over all of humanity is here? I remember the excitement. I remember being intrigued by this man, by wanting to follow him, wanting to find out more about him. Then I remember that first extended teaching that he gave. I mean, who can ever forget that? The sermon on the mountainside where the crowds gathered, where he totally surprised us, where he blew our minds away with what he said. How his words on that mountainside help us to make sense of the Old Testament scriptures which we have. How he taught us as God's children to live out our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. His words were refreshing and challenging. And for the rest of my life, I'll never forget the words of this man. You know, in fact, listening to this man speak is just like listening to God himself speak to us. He put in words the experiences that you and I feel so deeply about this thing called life. He put in words the questions that we have. He put in words the experiences that we struggle with. And in his life, in his teaching, in his words, he showed a closeness to God unsurpassed. And then there were not only his words, but there were his deeds as well. His healings, they were amazing. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the paralyzed get up and they're walking around. Those with skin diseases are healed with one instant touch. And then there was Jairus' daughter, the daughter of the local ruler of the synagogue back then. Who can ever forget that? Word was going around that she was very sick. Some had even said that she had died by the time Jesus went to her. But Jesus was able to bring her back to life. And it is so, for many today continue to testify to seeing Jairus' daughter running around. You know, friends, Recalling those days, it really felt too good to be true. The sick are healed, diseases done away with, the afflicted liberated. Jesus' healings and miracles remind us of paradise. It reminds us of the life that you and I long for, not a life where it is plagued by sicknesses and diseases slowly ebbing our lives away. But instead, Jesus shows us life as how God intended it to be, well and whole in His presence. Jesus brought us a glimpse of that life. And then there were the other miracles too. That there was the calming of the storm. Now, I wasn't there, but according to the other 12 disciples, the group that's closest to Jesus, according to what they told me, they said it was simply amazing. It was out of this world. The howling winds, the blistering rains, the raging waves, the full force of nature unleashed upon their little fishing boat out in the sea. And all Jesus had to do was stand up and speak the word, "Be still," and all was immediately calm. I remember the disciples telling me they were all scared out of their wits at that precise moment. I mean, somebody controlling the weather like this? Somebody controlling the forces of nature in the way Jesus did? I mean, who can do that? Only God can do that. But yet Jesus did it. So who is this man? Then there were the other miracles as well. The exorcisms. The demons were casted out of the tormented with a single word, such that those who were previously oppressed are now in their right minds. You know, with the work of Jesus, lives are restored. Our dignity is restored. We who are created, all of humanity, which is created in God's image, that image is being restored. And then there were the economic miracles as well. The feeding of the crowds. Jesus being able to produce bread and fish just like that. Imagine what He could have done to end all the economic oppression and all the poverty in the world today. Just imagine. And finally, there was the enigmatic character of Jesus Himself. You know, Jesus, He said the most profound things. He hung around the people that you and I wouldn't naturally want to hang around with. He was with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the outcasts of society, what we call the sinners. He hung around them, and His message around them always seemed to be that forgiveness from God was possible. In fact, more than that, that forgiveness would not only go out to the sinners, the outcasts of society, but that forgiveness would go out to all of us, to every one of us who belong to the human race. And Jesus Himself would issue that forgiveness to us. That was the reason why He came, to restore our relationship to God, to bring about the forgiveness of sins. You know that the Scriptures tell us how one day God Himself will come and forgive our sins. That though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That though our natural hearts are hardened like stone against God, He will make them hearts of flesh. That's who Jesus was. A bearer of hope in the midst of our dark lives. He came in the midst of our struggle and toil, in the midst of our meaninglessness. And He brought light. He brought hope. He gave us a glimpse of how life with God and under God should be like. Lives that you and I long for. Forgiven. Restored. Perfected. Jesus gave us a glimpse of the world you and I want. That you and I want so deep within us. That is the whole difference that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, made. Or perhaps more correctly, I should say, that is the whole difference this man, Jesus of Nazareth, could have made. For He is no more with us. The events of the past 3 days swept away whatever hope Jesus had brought with Him. For nobody expected it. that on the day the nation gathered together to celebrate the Passover feast, that on that very same night, nobody expected Jesus to be betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. Nobody expected Jesus to be handed over to the religious leaders who had always been jealous of Jesus and hated him. Nobody expected Jesus to be flogged and punished and then handed over to the Roman authorities for a sham trial. And nobody expected him to be crucified. And as he hung on that cross, dripping with blood all over, mocked by the crowds, taunted by the religious leaders, abandoned by the closest of his friends, nobody expected him to bear all of that silently. I mean, surely he who had the power to control nature, surely he who had the power to heal the sick, surely he who cast out demons, he who fed the crowds, surely he would have the power to save himself. But Jesus did not do that. Instead, he stayed there on the cross, silently bearing all the scorn and all the shame. Abandoned by the world, abandoned by his closest friends, abandoned by God. And finally, nobody expected him to utter his last words, "It is finished," and to breathe his last breath. And with that exhaling of his last breath, all the hope, all the anticipation, all the expectations that Jesus had brought about were crushed just like that. Just like that exhaling of his last breath. And now life goes on. The struggle continues. You and I carry on in this world to toil, to labor, only to have sickness and disease laugh the very last laugh at us. You and I carry on in this world only to face what seems to be the inevitable fact that the evil and the wicked keep growing in power while the righteousness diminish in number. You and I carry on in this world only to face the decay of all that is around us in nature, in creation, in the weather, and everything. And you and I carry on in this world only to face the one destination waiting for all of us, the grave. Such is the world that we live in, the lives that we live. Such could have been the whole difference that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, could have made. But alas, it was not meant to be. I must go. I have spoken much of my thoughts and feelings. I'm actually supposed to be on my way to meet with the women who cared for Jesus while he was still around. You know, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus himself. I'm supposed to meet up with them, and I'm supposed to meet up with the remaining of Jesus' disciples to say my farewell to them, to thank them for allowing me to spend 3 years of my life with them, journeying with Jesus, 3 remarkable years of my life. And then after saying farewell to the disciples and the women, I have to meet my friend Jonas. And together, we are supposed to make our way to this village not too far from Jerusalem, this village called Emmaus. I hear that there might be some job openings there for us. And life must carry on now that Jesus isn't around, isn't it? So do remember me, won't you, as I try to carry on with life. Carry on life without the presence of this wonderful man anymore, Jesus of Nazareth.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at a table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem.
Could this be real? Could this be true? Did my eyes really see who I thought I saw? Did my ears really hear the voice of the one my heart was longing to hear? Yes, it is true. It is real. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Now I understand. Now I finally see the truth. Now I don't have to be afraid anymore. I mean, how could I have missed it out? How could I have doubted for a moment? Of course, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the anointed King. He's the one who come and bring to us God's promised salvation. But more than that, Jesus is not just the King of the Jews, but he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior that every one of us need. He's the one through whom God would extend his salvation to the ends of the earth, to the different nations, to the peoples, to you, and to me. Jesus is God's promise to do something about this broken world that you and I live in ever since Adam's fall, Adam's rebellion. And how could I miss it? How could I fail to see what was written in the scripture so long ago until Jesus himself explained it to me? How could I miss the fact that the Messiah had to suffer these things before entering his glory? Wasn't it written in the Psalms? So many of the Psalms tell us that God's anointed King is one who suffers, one who is oppressed by his enemies, sometimes even crushed, but yet it is God who vindicates him in the end. Then there is the prophecy of Isaiah, remember? The suffering servant, God's righteous servant who comes, who does the work of God himself, who takes upon himself the punishment of our sin and iniquities. Now I understand. Now I see. Jesus' going to the cross was not a sign of defeat or a sign of victory for his enemies, but rather it was the fullest display of his saving work. His saving work that extends to you and to me. That in dying for us and in our place, that is how God himself can forgive us, a rebellious humanity. That is how God forgives every single human being, all who belong to this race called mankind. That is how God forgives you, and that is how he forgives me. And now more than that, by raising Jesus from the dead, by the fact that Jonas and I just saw and spoke and even ate with the living Jesus. It means this: God has not abandoned his Savior Jesus to the grave. Instead, God has vindicated him. God has proven beyond all doubt that indeed Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And here, my friends, is the deeper truth. God, in not abandoning his Savior to the grave, is also God not abandoning us. God not abandoning this fallen, rebellious humanity which you and I belong to. God not abandoning this broken world that you and I live in. Now I understand. That's why Jesus had to come in human flesh, in human nature. He came in the midst of our struggle of life. He came in the midst of our sicknesses and diseases, our wars, our injustices, our pain, our relationship, our breakdown, our violence. He came in the decay of our creation and surroundings. He came in the midst of all these, and he came and he gave us a glimpse of a different world. A world where there is no more death, disease, or decay. So you and I ask, where is this world heading towards? Where is it going? And we ask, who can make a difference? God has answered that question. In Jesus Christ, he makes all the difference. He is coming to bring this world towards where God intends it to go. A world where relationship can be made right with God. A world where there is no more death, disease, or decay. And Jesus' resurrection is God's assurance to you and I that Jesus is going to take us there. So now I understand. Now I see the possibility that we glimpse in Jesus' life and ministry has now become a possibility that is real for us through the empty tomb. You and I can now be reconciled back to God. Not only that, the world plagued by its fallen existence can now move towards its glorious destination. In Jesus Christ, God is bringing us to the climax and the fullest display of life and relationship with God and with each other in this world that he has given us. This is exciting. I have to let the other disciples know this truth. I don't even know whether they know that Jesus is alive. I have to let them know that indeed he's alive, that our lives and destinies are changed because of that. I have to let them know that the whole difference that Jesus could have made has now indeed become real in the whole difference an empty tomb makes. I must go and tell them. See you.
There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.
Shall we all rise as we sing the second stanza?
See Mary's weeping, red is late, as in sorrow he turns from the empty tomb. Hears a voice speaking, calling her name, is the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The boy that spent the years speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. We'll stand till he appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. With the Father, Ancient of Days, to the Spirit, to close faith with certainty. Honor and blessing, glory and praise, to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with him, death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
Thank you, please be seated. Thank you once again, thank you for coming to join us, and we hope what you have just seen, it's a very simple gospel presentation. But at the heart of this presentation, at the heart of it, we hope that we have shown you why Jesus means so much to us as Christians. And more so, why the empty tomb or the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means so much to us as Christians. That above all, as Christians, if there's any one thing that we can say, we must be able to say this. And that is, we follow and we serve a risen Savior. And the reason why we can say this, the reason why the resurrection brings such joy to us, that we want to share this message with you, it's a very simple one. And please allow me to recap for us. As the character that we saw a few moments ago, Cleopas, as he came to understand that if Jesus came to die for our sin and our rebellion against God, which everyone here of us is guilty of, if Jesus died on the cross for us and in our place, then the empty tomb shows that God has fully accepted Jesus' work of doing that. The resurrection shows that indeed the cross of Jesus Christ is God's way of making right this world, God's way of making right this humanity. You know, you and I may have many, many ideas about how the world should be made right. Some of us believe that put in the right government, you put in the right government, the whole world will be made right. You know, some of us say, get rid of economic poverty and the world will be made right. Some others say we just have to try to repair creation and repair the weather and everything, and the whole world will be made right. God looks at us and says, I have already made the world right by sending down my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. That is God's way of making right this world, this humanity. The cross is God's way of making right your relationship and my relationship with Him. The resurrection proves that the way to be back in relationship with God is not closed, but is now open through the One who lives forever. So some of us here, this may be the very first time that you have come, the very first time that your friend has invited you to come and hear about this person called Jesus. Perhaps you may have heard His name always, but you've never known much about Him. If that is you, if this is the first time that you have come, we hope that we have given you a simple but true presentation of who the person of Jesus is. And we invite you that if some curiosity is stirred within you, please continue to explore. Please come and consider joining us in the Discovering Christianity course, where it will be fleshed out for us a lot more. Keep exploring. Keep discovering Christ. But I also invite those, perhaps, who have been exploring for a little while longer. This is not the first time today. You have been exploring a little while longer. You have been coming to our services. You've been listening and reading the Bible. But you have yet to come to trust and commit your life to the Lord Jesus personally. You have yet to do that. Today, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do so. In a short while's time, I'll be saying this prayer. And can I have the prayer flashed up? This is what I'll be saying. Dear God, I confess I have rebelled against You and sinned in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again so that I can be forgiven. I believe Jesus Christ is Your way of saving us and Your way of making this world right again. Please strengthen me by Your Holy Spirit to keep following Jesus. That's the prayer that I'm going to say in a short while's time. And really, if this prayer expresses the desire of your heart, there may still be many things that you don't understand about Christianity. Don't worry, those things can slowly fall in place. But if this much you understand it and you are convicted that it is true, then can I invite you to say this prayer together with me and to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Yeah? Why don't all of us bow our heads? And I'll be saying this prayer. I will say a line of it, and I'll give us some time for those who want to say this prayer along to just repeat that line silently in your heart. Yeah? Let us pray. Dear God, I confess I have rebelled against You and sinned in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. Thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again so that I can be forgiven. I believe Jesus Christ is Your way of saving us and I believe He is Your way of making this world right again. Please strengthen me by Your Holy Spirit to keep following Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have said this prayer for the very first time, then congratulations, you have become a child of God. And we pray that you may spend the rest of your life discovering the joy in following our risen Savior. What we're going to do now is, if everybody, all of us should have it in our bulletins, and that is we should have a response slip in there. It looks something like this. And can I get all of us, everybody, whether you're a newcomer or whether you're a regular member, to take out a pen and to fill in the response slip for us, okay? For the regular attenders at ARPC, this is a very routine thing that we do. So everybody should be doing it. There should be no embarrassment whatsoever. Just fill in the slip. And please take one of the boxes for your response, okay? The first box is I'm a member or regular attender at ARPC. The second box is I prayed to trust in Jesus for the first time today. So if today is the first time you said that prayer, this is the box for you to take. The third one is I would like to find out more about Christianity and you want to join the Discovering Christianity. That's the third box. The fourth box is I'm a Christian attending service at, you may not be from this church, you may be attending another church, just fill in the name of that church. And the last box is I'm still seeking, okay? So everybody should fill in, and everybody should fill in a response, okay? That there is a response for each and every one of us within there. Let's all be doing it. And once you have filled it in, you can just fold it up and pass it to the end of the row where the ushers were collected. Thank you so much for doing it. And now I'll get Elder Wound to come up and to lead us in the closing song.
Thank you, Pastor Edmund, for sharing with us the good news of our Lord Jesus. Shall we all respond by singing a last hymn, O Church Arise? Shall we all stand for this song?
Hear the call of Christ our captain, for now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. It's the gathered last and I'll be bold, whose battle Christ is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor, and with the sword that make the wound and hold, we will fight with faith in valor. Faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the prize that he declined, an inheritance of nations. So speak. So Spirit, come, put strength in every strike, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. The saints of old still light the way, retelling triumphs of his grace. We'll hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory.
Please remain standing to receive the benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit strengthen us and cause our hearts to be filled with resurrection hope and resurrection joy. That indeed, strengthened by your Spirit, we may live resurrection lives to your glory. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.